£1 that we can afford it on her piece, because we're one of the few local authorities to actually receive any money out of this. And it is there to provide support for a range of partners, working with a group of schools to help children do measure mathematics. That's a handy slide if you won't ever read. But what that basically is trying to do is contextualise the situation in mathematics performance in Arnhem White schools. So I've just put up the data there under various headings. The first heading, reading 2017, shows that the Arnhem White is performing in line with the national. Reading 2016, the Arnhem White was pretty much performing in line with the national. Writing 2017, we're a little bit short of the national, but very close. Writing 2016, we're absolutely close, spot on with the national. And you can see that it's in mathematics, it's just interesting that we are kind of adrift. And for me, that's indicative of a specific issue around the teaching of mathematics. If it was something to do with Key Stage 2 or something to do with schools, we would be seeing reading being low, writing being low, but reading, writing, we're kind of, spot on with the national. Frustratingly, you can see that from 2016 to 2017, mathematics performance in our white schools improved, but it improved at the same rate as nationally. So, as a result of all that, when you look at the government's proposed measure of Key Stage 2 performance, the combined reading, writing, maths measure, we are adrift of the national, and it's an issue to do with mathematics. So, working on developing the teaching of mathematics is a key thing for Ireland schools. And the trouble with saying to schools, we need to do something in mathematics, is it tends to draw out kind of not well thought through responses. And this work was really being kind of inspired by my granddaughter. You'll notice there that fine athletic figure of a man is actually me, not my granddaughter. The girl is my granddaughter. She's a lot older than that now, and would probably be really embarrassed at the prospect that I might have shown this picture of her when she was six to other people. But when she was in year six, she said to me, "Granddad, you've got to help me with maths. You've got to help me with maths. All we do is tests after tests after tests after tests. And do you know, Granddad, if you can't do it in the first place, doing it over tests doesn't help you." And I'm there, and I can get into the mind of that head teacher who's thinking, I've got to drive up maths results in my school, get the kids practicing tests. That will do it. So what we really need to do here is, it's kind of inspired with Carol's Grace, but what is really understand. What are the rocks? What really are the rocks? And that's quite a time-consuming process. You're never going to find out what the rocks are by just giving children more tests. And I can tell you now that the bit that kids find hard in maths are multiplying decimals and kind of applying maths to real-life situations. Giving them more opportunities to multiply decimals doesn't help. What you've got to do is get behind that and understand what the blocks are. So this project is all about trying to understand what the blocks are. And the idea is we really try and focus on a narrow group of children who seem to be stuck in maths and pick up what their blocks are, because if they've got blocks, those blocks will have come about as a result of some misconceptions they've had, some teaching that hasn't quite worked somewhere else in the school. And it's by shining a light on those blocks that schools can understand what it is they need to do to get better at teaching maths. Teachers can understand what it is they might need to do specifically with those individual children. But what we're trying to do is learn from the experience of five or six children in a class to say, so, you know, Ed, now think about the mathematics teaching in your school as a whole. And there's a rigour around that because that's a bit of a research activity. And if anyone does any research, you have to have a particular rigour in doing it. It's not just as simple as saying, go and talk to some children and then we'll change the whole approach to mathematics. That there's a kind of structure that we're wrapping around schools as well to help them really understand what the blocks are. So this project is all about understanding blocks. What it will not be, cannot be, must not be, over my dead body will have anything to do with loads of inspection. Now, this is not the local authority going around inspecting schools saying we're having any maths. Because all schools will do is do more tests. You know, we're not writing lots of reports about schools. The other thing that schools will always say is, well, you just tell us what to do and we'll do it. What assessment scheme should we be? You tell us, we'll do that and everything will be fine. It's cleverer than that. It's more subtle than that. It's, you know, one of the places schools often go when they get concerned about maths is they say, well, we'll change our maths scheme. It's almost the knee-jerk response, we'll change our maths scheme. I mean, given all these tests, they still can't do it. It's the scheme, let's change the scheme. And you spend huge amount of money, huge amount of time changing your maths scheme. Whereas what you're really trying to do is understand, out of the scheme we've got at the moment, what is it that the children just haven't understood? Because somewhere back in history, in time, there will have been a block, but they haven't quite got their heads around, and it's been moved over rapidly in the desire to, I don't know, children will test. But that's really where this program is coming from. So we've said to schools, we need to identify five or six children who are kind of stuck in maths in each class. And the risk around doing that is that what schools will do is, and this is the physical scientist in me, what we really try and need to do is control some variables. Because there will be children with special education needs who find maths hard. But we won't learn anything that is really applicable across the school from looking at a small group of children in SEN. I think when we learn the big messages about maths teaching in the school, it's then about saying, so how do we apply those to that specific group of children? We don't need to look at high-flying mathematicians who aren't high-flying enough. There's something about basic mathematics teaching. So we've talked to schools about identifying a group of children who should be secure in maths at the end of new stage one. And those are the children you would expect to progress through. And if they aren't progressing, understanding why they aren't progressing, I think that becomes really quite helpful. That's where we'll find the information that enables us to apply the lessons into other parts of the school. So in the paper I talked a lot, it reads like code, it talks about level 2B children. These are basically children who are at the end of Key Stage 1, way back when they did Key Stage 1, achieved the level 2B in maths, because that's, if you like, children who have a really firm foundation in maths. So we're using them as a kind of group of children to learn about mathematics teaching in the school. The approach that we're using to win the money, we basically had to come up with an approach that had a strong track record. And the approach that we're using is one that came out of the national strategies. A programme called the Improving Schools Programme, which had a really strong impact in improving children's mathematics. And this was a programme that was used in lower tertiary schools across the country. I've had experience of running that programme myself.
So the program that we're using, the approach that we're using, has got a track record, and that was key in being able to demonstrate that to the DfE to get the money. And if you want to know what it looks like, that's the sort of cycle that we're doing. We said to schools, we don't want to start in year six, because everyone wants to start in year six, and this isn't about starting in year six, it's not about inflating your Key Stage 2 results. What we're trying to do is understand something about maths teaching in your school. So we're going to look at year five, and we're going to follow this group of children through from year five into year six. And we've got this 10-week cycle that we use with schools, where in the first meeting, primary phase inspector sits down with the head teacher. So someone who's skilled in school leadership sits down with the head teacher to plan out what the 10 weeks is going to look like and organise that and make sure that all the events are going to happen and the school's going to get the management information it needs. Then a maths expert will go and sit down with the head teacher and the class teacher and look at the children's work, look at the planning, and then actually interview the children. And interview the children around elements of mathematics. And by doing that, what the maths expert is doing is training the class teacher and training the head about the sort of key questions that a maths expert teacher would ask to enable the teacher to see what the block really is. So part of what we're doing here is, as well as saying we're going to find the blocks, what we're actually doing is teaching schools how to identify those blocks for themselves. Because at some point, in nearly a year's time, the money will stop and schools are going to need to be able to do this for themselves. So out of that conversation in week two, week three, the teacher and the expert identify the key steps now that this child needs to take and the way in which the teacher needs to teach it. And the maths expert then goes back after 3 weeks with their teacher and goes into the lesson, not to observe the teacher and write a report and do those sorts of things, but actually look at the children and see, are they now engaging with that approach, that strategy? Is there evidence that the block is being addressed? And there's a professional dialogue at the end of that visit between the head and the class teacher and the maths expert that gives a sense of where to go next. And at the end of the 10-week block, what happens is the primary phase inspector comes back and basically reviews the evidence that the school has collected around has there been any impact and has the conversation been here. So, through this 10-week block, what have you learnt about maybe the teaching that might have gone on in year three, the teaching that might have gone on in year four, the teaching that might have happened in Key Stage 1? What are the bigger issues that have come out of this 10-week block for you? Because those are the things we need to train your teachers up in your school. And we're running four 10-week blocks. We've got time for four 10-week blocks because that will stop in Easter next year, and those year five children will be just ready to take their year six tests. Through this term, we're also picking up another tranche of children in the school as well, and we're trying to then get the school to understand and build in the lessons that they've learned from this first tranche into a second tranche. I'll talk about that. What we're anticipating is that by the end of the programme, because of the schools that have come are working with us, we're anticipating that if all the other schools that aren't working with us perform as they are at the moment, then we should hit what we're thinking will be the national average in 2019. But that's a piece of work. There is, a lot of work going on in schools, a huge amount of scrutiny from the DfE, huge amount of I'm amazed at the amount. You'd think we were doing something really wrong in schools, not improving maths, the amount of scrutiny that we were actually getting from the DfE and the returns I have to do. But that's the shape of the programme. Any questions?
Sean, if you'd like to start, then John.
Excellent job. What can be put forward into other schools? The main thing I think to pick up, we talk to the heads, we talk to the teachers. What about the governance of the school? Every school has an English lead, every school has a maths lead. Surely they should be involved, because they're the ones who are going to question the head to ensure the programme is on track, push the programme forward, or even results in the school.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I should have said is, in those planning meetings where the primary phase inspector and the head are working together, the chair of governance is expected to attend the sort of final half hour for the summary bit. And what we're saying to chairs of governance is, we would be anticipating that at the governing body meeting, you would want your head teacher updating you on the progress of this project. You're absolutely right.
Especially in words of God, because the head teachers are all getting informed of governance. There's almost sat that question, the head teacher, how's the English going? They don't know the full story of language.
Yeah. So we wanted to involve chairs of governors. We wanted chairs of governors to understand how this project was working, so that they had an understanding when the head teacher reported, so they can ask some of the
services. It's not just the chairs, every school has an English lead. Surely they should be the one to, because then they report to the committee of how the school's doing, as against the chair.
I took the view, because you could argue that this project in the school should be run by the maths manager. And I took the view that actually this is such an important project for the other right that I don't want it run by the maths manager. Actually, this is about how teachers stand doing something for the children of the other right. And I've kind of got a similar thing about chairs of governance. This is one of the key bits of the jigsaw we need to do some work to kind of fix. So I kind of want the key people in schools. You're right, I think over a period of time it becomes more appropriate for a maths question. But the status for me is such that I want the head people in this in the school, and I want the chair of governance kind of involved in this, knowing what's going on. This is a major piece of work. We are one of the few local authorities who have achieved this sort of grant. It's something really significant. The DfE are all over it. The potential here is something quite significant.
What I'm getting at, well, that covers all subjects, not just maths and science. It doesn't seem to be government involved. So if you're kept up to speed on what is going on, unless you see on Twitter, DfE is going to do this, you seem to be sort of almost kept out of it. Go in and question the head about a subject, you may not know the whole picture. There is a system on the island. I think Amateur Services regularly email things out, but that seems to be doing tracking for all schools. There's no communication for schools and others having problems. Can you please ask your heads about English is falling down, maths is falling down. Can you please check? If you know what I mean.
And where I think schools would need to be is the way in which the primary curriculum is going to need to grow over the next couple of years. I think the whole piece around subject coordinators in schools and linking with governors is going to be a real kind of key thing. It's I think individual schools are going to have to come up with their individual approach, because when you are in a three-class primary school, it's not like being in a two-form venture primary school where you've got a large number of staff and each one of them can be a subject. centre. In a small primary school, you've got more subjects and you've got people to kind of coordinate. So schools are going to have to work their own kind of solutions through this, but you know, the substance of your point is absolutely right, but the linking in of governance and performance and subjects, governance maintaining that oversight is important.
Right, Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chair. May I say that was a great presentation. I love your enthusiasm every time you speak about this. But what worries me within schools is that Ofsted and the educational ministers and the government, and not just particularly any particular party of government, they all seem the same, that they all feel that it's their duty to change what the priorities are. So, I mean, I always remember that Ofsted were coming to a school that I was a governor at, and it was going to be English and maths. And all of a sudden, it was going to be history and geography as a priority subject. So that you've got your teaching staff who are following the rules, and all of a sudden it changes. So they then got to look at other subjects to try and bring that up. And it doesn't work. And I think sometimes we need to make sure we've got a programme that concentrates on things that children can follow, because if we seem to be playing Ofsted at the time on their priorities, then the teachings are going to give up in the end, because they're going to say, well, I'm trying to teach maths, because in a primary school it's worse because the teacher teaches all subjects. And that's not so bad when you talk about secondary school, because at least you have a teacher that takes on certain subjects and sticks to it. But if you've got a primary teacher, I mean, I'm going to ask you, my end to this is, can you give me your opinion on it? Because it just seems to me that the teaching staff are constantly being told this is the priority, and then next year this is going to be a priority. And in the end, they're going to say, oh, why should I bother? You know, I can't take the school forward with maths if next year I've got to concentrate on another subject. You know, schools, I always found, was something that should be the teacher finds a balance and teaches all subjects and balances it, not being told what their priorities are to fit in with Ofsted. Thank you, I'm done.
You know, my answer should always be that what schools are there to do is educate children. They're not there to collect badges and all bits and plaudits from Ofsted. And where you start as a head teacher is with your staff as a head. So what does an educated child look like in our school? What is it that we hope and aspire for our children? That's what we want. We have got to put that in place. And the trouble with that is it's flipping hard work. It needs intellect. It needs then just a huge amount of energy to put that in place in school. And, you know, my answer to anyone who says, well, what are we about to say, wanting this and wanting that and wanting the other? What you're employed as a head teacher to educate children, and what you've got to do as a head teacher is decide what that education has to look like. Yes, you've got to teach the national curriculum, because that's what the law says, but the law also says, but what you have to do is, you know, the national curriculum is just a part of your whole school curriculum. And what you have to do as a head is educate children. So there are some schools who do, you're right, get on hobby horses and plug this like this and this like that. Maths is a real kind of case in point where suddenly an education minister goes to China and sees the way they teach maths in Shanghai and says, that's absolutely the way we're going to do it in this country now. Or you have an education minister who goes to Singapore and says, Singapore has got the best curriculum in the world, we're going to do that now in our country. Missing the point that actually Singapore based their curriculum a thing called Curriculum 2000, which was something we had back in the year 2000. So we're always going to have that sort of churn. The thing, the key bit about educational leadership is you've got to steer your school, your staff, through those choppy waters about saying, this is what we believe in terms of education for our children. This is what's important for our community. This is what we've got to do. That's how you ride out those waves. So there are schools who know that Shanghai NAS is the play for the month, and they say, good hope, but actually, our children do very well with the way we teach it now. Thank you. Come and have a look at it, come and do what we like, but our children do well. It's the risk is when you get into these situations where schools feel anxious that we're not doing well enough in something, that's when they start thinking, well, we've got to do this now, we've got to do that now. And it comes back to that intellectual bit about educational leadership is what is it that we're really honestly trying to achieve here? Because it isn't English and maths. It isn't English and maths. We were just talking earlier on today about some secondary heads who say that, we can spot which primary school certain children have come from just because of how they are. And sometimes that's in a good sense because how well they learn and how well they engage with things. And sometimes it's in a bad sense because they're just a bit all over the place. So that whole bit about what is your vision, what are you trying to do in your school as a head teacher, is the bit that you have to have, because that's the bit that's going to guide you through what are always going to be choppy waters. It always will be so. Sorry, I'm ranting now. You've got to be really overexcited.
Can I just thank you for that? It's the best. Can we get another 10 people like you? It would be excellent. Thank you.
Right, Councillor Andre.
Thank you, Chair. Again, I really do admire Mr. Marcos's passion, and I really applaud it. I think we need a lot more passion and enthusiasm across the board, but anyway. I think it's wonderful that we have been successful in achieving this funding through the Strategic School Improvement Funding. Some of my colleagues did touch earlier, but I think I'm right in saying that this goes across the curriculum, obviously, it's who. So I have a question: who actually directs where this? Who actually directs where this money is spent? I currently read from the report that there are 20 identified schools currently part of the project, but the intention through the first year of the programme is to expand it out. And is this funding time sensitive?
Yes, the funding runs out at the end of the financial year, and DfE have stopped this funding program. So there is no more money available after this year. We're really keen to get something that's sustainable for the schools, because where I'm heading with this really is we're trying to skill up people through the process, and through skilling people up through the process, what I want are some people who are strong in the right maths teaching, who can lead this now across the island, so that we've got island schools supporting island schools, rather than range of teaching schools the other side of the Solent coming across the maths Solent up in Portsmouth. That's for me the sustainability thing that I really want to get. I'll meet up with the heads through this term at some point to really try and see how things are going and plot through how we think this is sustainable for the future. But there isn't any money we're going to get from the DfE to do it. I don't think.
Can I just come back?
Yes. I would say watch the clock. We're beginning to get lengthy over this. I would like questions, please, or clarification of anything in the report that you're not sure about.
This is just a clarification, Chair. As I already said, so this funding is cross-curricular. It's not just channeled into the maths programme.
So people are able to bid for specific projects around specific things. So we could have done a project on basket weaving. I don't think it would have got £150,000. So we had to kind of focus it on kind of key priorities. That's why it matters.
Councillor Love?
Very briefly, it doesn't really require an answer. It's a joy, as a former teacher and advisor, it's a joy to sit here and listen to the absolute passion and every penny spent on bringing Hampshire into Isle of Wight Council is absolutely worthwhile, listening to what I'm hearing from yourselves. I'm not going to talk about maths much because you can't help me. That's what I said. But I would say it's an absolute joy. The science of teaching is what I was involved with in a different way from it is today when I was involved in terms of teaching and learning. And I hope people are hearing just how complicated teaching can be, but also how easy it can be in the right direction. And so it's an absolute joy. So thank you for what you're doing. It's a shame that we can't have more money because that is the problem with short-term funding. Short-term funding does not help our schools. And so there's not much that we can do or say about that apart from say, if you go back and ask us some more. But thank you.
Councillor Green?
Very briefly, then, nobody has much passion today that talks about it, but we spent a couple of hours last week going through all the primary school results on the island, analysing lots of goods. Some school would be good, got back a bit, so our primary school results have stayed fairly flat line this year. But we have identified school by school, schools where support is needed. But to Sean's point, that support and challenge would be the head teacher to say, right, this is the support that we'd like to offer you. You know, as head teacher to involve team members and staff, governing body, to make sure the support we're giving across the piece, not just for maths, maths is more specific because we've got an issue. Across the whole curriculum at primary level, the head teacher will get the support from them and his team to drive it through the school. We'll be holding head teachers to account for that support and how that plays through the results for this year.
I have one comment to make about this, and I have made it in the past, that maths as it is taught now is just a total nightmare for parents. Now, with reading and writing, it's quite simple. The children can come home, this book, write this down, etc. And as somebody said, they go out and they point out signs and get the children to read them, as David said. However, maths is anathema to an awful lot of parents now. I went round Palin's with the maths specialist, and by the time he'd finished, I thought, if I had to walk into a school now or try and teach my grandchildren maths, I promise you, I wouldn't know where to start. I don't know how we solve that end of the problem, David, but I think it is part of the blockage for our children. Do you... I know you'll agree with me, but do you have any ideas?
What a number of schools certainly do is hold the parents' curriculum focus events where they invite parents to come in and they'll talk to them about how they teach mathematics. Now, one of the troubles that teachers have is that they're very enthusiastic people and they're very good at talking to other teachers about teaching mathematics. And rather ironically, the teachers forget that audience is everything. And if you're going to teach a group of parents about teaching mathematics, you're going to have to use a different approach when you're talking to a colleague. So we always encourage schools to engage with their communities about what their curriculum is like, the approaches that they're using to teaching, because of course what that helps is the parents then support their children. And that's the key bit. It's what you need, though, a few more maybe. I'm going to be rude about mathematicians, actually. Sometimes the people who are very enthusiastic about maths are the last people you need talking to people about maths. I don't know if you've ever experienced that.
Right, I think we've finished that for now. We've been asked to note the report. I would say I agree with Councillor Love. it is working, what you are doing, we just got to keep plugging away. So we will note the report. Proposer, please, seconder. Thank you, thank you. Right, and we will now go on to paper B.